Tonight I would like to begin a series on the ministry of intercession. And we want to look at probably a good place to start, and that is the lack of prayer, which is why I bring these series to us on prayer meeting, talk about prayer. It's wonderful to get together to pray. I was planning to go into Daniel instead of Acts. And right away in the story of Daniel, we have the first recorded group prayer meeting. Four people, Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, in their more lovely Hebrew names. So it's good. But better is that personal devotion, that personal intercession with God. We talked about that a while back, Adam and Eve walking in the garden, perfectly good friends with God, talking about things of the day, talking about life, and things they discovered in his wonderful world that he had made for them. And I'm imagining, we don't have any example of what they talked about. We only hear about that wonderful time together when they've lost it at the time that Christ would come, for it would be Christ in his pre-human body form, probably looked like man. For all we know, he looked like he would look like when he became man. It would be up to him. But he's the one that always interacts with humanity. So the time that we spend personally, it occurs to me that God said that a tenth of everything is his, 24 hours in a day. That'd be 2.4 hours a day to spend in time with him. I don't usually make that. So there's a lack of prayer. Throughout history, God has found a strange lack in his followers. Listen to his words. Listen to his heart. Isaiah 43:22. But thou hast not called upon me, O Jacob, but thou hast been weary of me, O Israel. There's a sadness in that. All that I've done for you, all that I did in making you a nation and blessing you with the promised land. Isaiah 59:16. And he saw that there was no man. In the midst of God's judgment, he saw there was no man and wondered. God wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. He said, I will do what needs to be done. Isaiah 64:7. And there is none that calleth upon thy name and stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, to take hold of God, for the sake of the people. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. Jeremiah, all these passages in prophets written at the time of the Babylonian captivity. Jeremiah 10:21, for the pastors are become brutish. What's brutish? Like brutes, like animals. The pastors did, shepherds, and have not sought the Lord. This is the tragedy of it, when the pastor stands before a church and his only goal is to get more people in. So he doesn't seek the Lord. The pastors have become brutish, have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, all their flocks shall be scattered. Ezekiel 22:30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Characteristic of a backslidden society is people don't pray, don't spend time with God. Daniel 9:13, Daniel, you remember, was one of the Babylonian captives. And as it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet we made not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Lord, help us turn around. New Testament, James 4:2, ye lust, meaning desire, and have not, ye kill. I don't have what I want, so I'm going to take what I want. I desire to have, cannot obtain, you fight and war. Yet you have not, because you ask not. We make too little of prayer. One pastor said that in the beginning he sought to spend as much of his free time as possible with his books in his study. He wanted to feed his people with the very best he could prepare for them. Over time, he learned that prayer was more important than study alone. He remembered that the apostles had deacons elected to take charge of money operations so that they might, quote, give themselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. Another pastor complained, hard for me to imagine, I dream once in a while that I'm invited to this gigantic building, this gigantic church has great balconies, and I lose my way every time, and I go through and I realize, oh no, I forgot my Bible, and I have to find a Bible in some place and pick it up and take it up and get up on that balcony and look out on the three floors of people out there. I can't imagine me doing that, but if I dream, I do. Another pastor complained, there is the morning mail before breakfast with 10 or 12 letters which must be answered. We do that on the computer now. But then there are committee meetings waiting with countless other engagements, more than enough, to fill up the day. It is difficult to see how it can all be done. Well, here's a rather simple answer. Doesn't make it simple to do, but it is a simple answer, and that is the answer is a matter of priority. We did not forget to breathe. We did not forget to eat and drink because we had to do that. So we made it a priority. So let me ask you, do you consider God's call for time and attention more important than man's call? Up, ready to do the job, ready to do what you need to do. But how about God's call? If God was waiting to meet us, to give us blessing and power from heaven for his work, it is a short-sighted policy to put other work in the place that God alone should have. Another pastor with great organizational responsibility said, I rise in the morning and before breakfast, have half an hour with God in the word and in prayer. I go out and am occupied all day with a multiplicity of engagements. I do not think many minutes elapse without my breathing a prayer for guidance or help. After my day's work, I return to my evening devotions and speak to God about the day's work. But of the intense, definite, importunate, the keep on asking kind of prayer of which the scripture speaks, I know little. Felt something was lacking. There can be an earnest Christian life in which there is prayer enough to keep us from backsliding, just maintaining the position we have without much growth in spirituality or Christlikeness. The first is defensive, seeking forgiveness and the ability to deflect temptation. We need the more aggressive prayer that cries out for Christ-likeness, to be conformed to the image of Christ. If we are to grow in strength and gain some experience of God's power to sanctify, to make us holy, we must exercise more definite and persevering prayer. Again, the scripture, 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. If my mother said, just wait till your father gets home, I did not seek his face. I tried to be busy someplace when he came home. To seek God's face is, I've got to talk to you. See? Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I fell into temptation. You fell into it? Or did you open the door and walk right in? Because you didn't watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 11:8. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, because he kept on knocking, kept on asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. He's talking about prayer here and how we ought to go and ask God again and again and again until we gain what we have. We give up too easily. Luke 18:1-7, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He says, this is the parable, here's the meaning of it, and here it is. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? This is what God's chosen do when they ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 21:36, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all those things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man, the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto, that's bearing the watches through the night, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, praying for all the saints. Take us a long time. Philippians 4:6, be careful, be worried about nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, pleading with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. The words meaning, don't put an end to your prayer life. This must become our experience if we are really to be intercessors. The Dutch proverb reminds us, what is heaviest must weigh heaviest. It's not just how we think about it. Must have the first place. Romans 2:18, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law. You say, yes, I understand. Prayer is one of the most important things we can do. Then we ought to approve the things that are most excellent. Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things that are excellent. Weigh what you're doing, weigh what you're taking your time with, and go with the excellent one. You're going to find time for prayer. Approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, that judgment seat of Christ again. And so it comes down to this. Unless we are willing to pay the price and sacrifice whatever it takes for the sake of excellence, we will never experience the power of the heavenly world in our work. So it's clear that prayer does not have the place it should have in the pastor's and the member's life. The shortcoming is one of which all are willing to confess, and the difficulties in the way of deliverance are such as to make a return to a true and full prayer life almost impossible. But we must remember Luke 18:27. It is impossible for you to do this, huh? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. That would be including prayer, right? God's call to much prayer need not be a burden, cause of continual self-condemnation. I didn't do it. He means it to be a joy. He can make it an inspiration, giving us strength for all of our work, bringing down his power to work through us in our fellow men. It's a joy to be used of God in that way. So think of this. The light that shows us our sin and condemns us for it, that same light will show us the way out of it into a life of liberty that is well-pleasing to God. I see that I am condemned. That same light will show you the way out of it. How can we make our sense of the lack of prayer the means of blessing in our lives? How can our fellowship with the Father in prayer and intercession become what it ought to be? I have four statements. Number one, we must begin by going back to God's Word to study what place God means prayer to have in our life. See it in the life of the patriarch. See it in the life of the apostles. See it in the lives of the missionaries through the book of Acts. Number two, we need a fresh sight of what prayer is according to the will of God. We don't say our prayers, we pray. As I was growing up, every night going to bed, we would say our prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. I really didn't pray that, but I said prayers. That's what the Muslims do. They have, in Arabic, by the way, whether they speak it or not, they have prayers to memorize and to say. The third, we must see what our prayers can be through the grace of God. Some of the greatest blessings my wife and I have ever found is that when we find, unknown to us even, that our prayers have been answered in a special way. And then number four, with our whole heart and soul, mind, will, and emotions, we will consent to it and rejoice in it, our prayer life, as the only possible way for the blessing of heaven to come to earth. Go back to what God was intending to do to Israel, through the faithful. But I found nobody praying. I found no man. All thought of task and burden, of self-effort and strain, will just pass away in the faith that praying in the Christian life is simple as breathing. He will show us that our failure in our prayer life was due to our failure in the spirit life. Not a physical problem. It's a spirit one. Prayer is one of the most heavenly and spiritual of the functions of the spirit life. Insight into what God wants prayer to mean to us reveals that we have not been living the real abundant life. To walk in life in perfect harmony with friendship of God, like Adam and Eve did. That's the real abundant life. It will show us that any thought of praying more and effectually will be vain unless we embrace a closer relationship with our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Christ is our life, the very source of life. We must practice the presence of Jesus. Walk in the garden with him, you see. You have to recognize him. You have to walk with him. You have to talk with him. Christ lives in us. We were baptized into him. So as we surrender to him, he breathes his past life of prayer on earth and his present life of intercession in heaven into us. Becoming Christ-like is to put the emphasis on prayer that he did, rising a great while before dawn. He would go out to pray by himself. He prayed while he was on the cross. And now, having ascended, he's by the throne of God, making intercession for us. By recognizing our failure, we learn to turn to him and find the grace, the empowerment that he supplies to pray as we should. So our sense of humiliation that we haven't done it becomes our greatest blessing. It urges us on to do it. So let us as church members unite in prayer that he would visit our souls and build us up in that work of intercession, which is at this moment the greatest need of the whole church and of the whole world throughout the planet. It is only by intercession that his great power can be brought down from heaven. He can do it, but the scripture tells us that if we have refused to ask, he won't do it. By this power, we may influence the world. And I think we have to confess that nothing but intense, believing prayer can meet the intense spirit of this wicked age, of which all complain. Let's not complain. Don't curse the darkness. Light the candle and the darkness of the night sky can be lit up by the flash of prayer.